buzzer, McCord on its way.
They have to get it. There's no timeouts. They do. Florida
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. He's square. Can you imagine the Final Four? I mean, it is upon us. I mean, the only thing that follows the Final Four is the great Greenberg Dockage next round of golf competition, which is a mere, yeah, I mean, that's just a mono on mono. Absolute
blood match, blood rock match. Fight.
I mean, you walking, taking your shoes off, and it was unbelievable.
I beat you to one, and you beat me. You came
actually
back.
Got me twice. All right,
I no,
got
but
once.
I fell in. I had to go and get baptized. Yeah, I had to go into the sea.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
Final four,
Seth.
What do you think, man? I mean, like, all right. So let's look at this here. Texas Tech, Michigan State. I'm going to say it, and then you can expound upon it. Definite rock fight.
Rock fight. That's a rock fight. We got a rock fight.
What's your first take?
My first take is I'm so glad Michigan State's there because I just like this. I like this team. I don't think there may not be a pro on Michigan State. Is that possible?
Cassius Winston, he has to come back. Does he come back?
Look, if you're going on college accomplishments, no. But if you're going on what the NBA looks, yes. How about for Texas Tech? Tariq Owens a pro?
No, but Jared Culver is.
Culver, yeah.
He's the one guy. And Moretti might eventually. He can really, really shoot it. But, I mean, this is a game. This is an old-school Final Four semifinal game.
This is older guys, too, a little bit.
Older, yeah. Maturity, experience. Obviously, Michigan State's been together longer. Beer's been able to get those guys playing like they've been together longer.
We've seen Texas Tech speed up Michigan. Made mincemeat out of their three-point shooting. You and I both talked on our previous podcast how we felt like Gonzaga got sped up. Can they speed up Michigan State?
Can they speed up Cassius Winston?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come down to. Like, when Michigan State's good, Cassius Winston's 10-1. 10 assists, one turnover. When they're not good, he turns it over, and then all of a sudden they're playing from behind. Can they? Yes.
Will they?
I don't think so. I think they'll have possessions they will, but can they do that over the course of a game? I'm not sure because everyone talked about Trey Jones being this great on-ball defender, and he was. He's a disruptive defender. And, you know, Cassius got a couple lean-ins where he got away with it. But that dude was like playing it, you know, he was like in the adult league, you know, in Detroit, just doing his thing. I mean, that dude, how good is he going to be in a rec league in about 15 years?
Cassius Winston, at some point in his life, will be the best player until he's 90.
He'll just
whatever
be sashaying
he wants
around.
To play. Wearing his head, man. He's going to be the mayor of Detroit, governor of Michigan, because he's a brilliant kid.
Great kid, too.
Great kid. My favorite kid.
Well, and junior.
Well, junior's in yeah, you know.
It's family.
Yeah.
After
he doesn't
family.
Play. Not playing anymore, junior.
Yeah, ACL.
He's my favorite coach.
ACL for his career.
Cassius Winston is my favorite kid to watch in college basketball because he doesn't have a great body.
He makes me feel good about my body.
Yes. He just balls. He's happy. Like, I hate to say this. This is not a shot, but it is. As I've gotten older and away from college basketball, I was the most miserable-looking guy on the sideline. Like, I look at Coach K, and for all his success, he doesn't look like he's having any fun. He looks miserable. Then you look in the crowd at Duke, and everybody looks miserable, and I look at Cassius Winston, and I see a dude that's just having a ball. I mean, I see Winston is just, like, smiling and playing and balling and...
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting the relationship he has with Tom, because Tom's challenge him, and as a freshman, he couldn't handle it. As a sophomore and a junior, he embraces it.
Yeah.
And which is what it's all about. I look at this game and just, there are certain matches. Mooney and Cassius Winston or Cassius Winston against Mooney and the Texas Tech defense. I think that's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. The speed of play. Can they get Michigan State uncomfortable like they did to Gonzaga and Michigan? That's going to be an interesting thing. And then, you know, the guy we don't talk about, Matt McQuaid.
Oh.
Like, he's going to end up on Jared Culver. And they're going to play, obviously, outnumber him. They're going to be physical. Now, the motion is an issue because he's going to get Jarrett Culver coming off screens, rescreens. He's going to be against Jarrett Culver.
Can I address that for a second?
Yeah, sure, please.
The best off-ball defender that I saw maybe ever is Ronald Norad for Butler back in the when Butler was rolling. I'm not so sure McQuaid isn't in the top five. Like, when I watch McQuaid play off the ball and have to guard curls, yeah. or he is so locked in, he beats you to the screen, he steps over the screen, and he's good enough and he understands enough that a guy can read it and pop back, and he gets there.
It's big.
He's long, too. Yeah. He's wide. Yeah. I don't mean to stop you right there.
No, I agree.
I do not think that is a horrible thing. That's a horrible matchup for Michigan State, him guarding Culver.
No, but that's one to watch, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back in a minute, but first a word from Vivid Seats.
Think about this, D-squared. Yes. Usually we get the freebies, you know. You can pick up the phone most times, get into most arenas, get a pretty good seat, get a media pass. But there are times that there are no freebies available. Having the right venue to get a good seat to a sporting event and having that ability, man, I'll tell you one thing, that's good. What do you think about Vivid Seats, D-squared?
I don't settle for waiting in lines. I don't. I don't like to. You don't like to. None of us do. Shop for tickets to every game with the official ticket partner of ESPN. That's Vivid Seats. And Vivid Seats, here's really important. You see your seats before you buy. Huge to me because I like sitting in an aisle and they're backed by 100% buyer guarantee. You may have to find another way to spend your time besides waiting in line, but you'll be closer to the action, Seth, than you've ever been before.
Head on over to Vivid Seats, the largest independent ticket marketplace around. I want to get to the head of the line. I want to get the best seats. I want to be able to get in the seat, enjoy the show, and do whatever I need to do. I mean, that's why you have to go to Vivid Seats.
Less time in the waiting room and more time in the great seats of your choice. Don't just buy any seat. Get a Vivid Seat.
The one guy defensively, he's a developing defender, is Aaron Henry, playing against the motion where he hasn't seen it at tough. And, you know, it's funny because the Big Ten used to be a motion league. It's not as much. Or Ohio State, more of a motion team?
No. Pretty much all.
They run their sets, right?
Purdue runs it better than maybe anybody. They sprint off screens. They cut as hard as anyone.
Oh,
my gosh. So he's guarded that, and he's guarded, you know, he's guarded well.
How about as well as Aaron Henry? Aaron Henry's development and that right-hand jump hook, I still haven't figured it out. But his development.
For a left-handed kid.
But his development in terms of maintaining a level of intensity for a long period of time has been really impressive. I mean, because this with Josh Lang, he was supposed to be a backup. He was supposed to be a 10 to 11 minute a game player. The dude is playing 35, 36, 37 minutes. And to be able to maintain that as a freshman under the microscope they're under with the demands that they're putting on him has been really impressive.
Seth, this is odd too. He's the leading scoring freshman in the Final Four at under 6 a game, 5.8 a game.
Now that's a full grown nugget. That's not even a morsel.
That's just in a world where freshmen dominate everything. Here we are in the biggest stage.
Only two freshmen are starting.
Yeah. And look, Henry to me is, again, I'm going to give great credit.
Junior?
Yes.
Junior signing.
Junior was the team manager this summer for the Indiana All-Star team, which had Langford and Henry and a bunch of guys. It's a big deal in Indiana. You play Kentucky, and it's a big deal. Calls me up. He goes, Dad, the winningest guy in this entire thing, both teams, is Aaron Henry. He goes, Romeo might be great. He was a little bit like you on Romeo. Not like you, actually. He just, good player, blah, blah, blah.
Junior and I, we think.
Yes. He's like, Dad, I'm telling you, Aaron Henry's going to win wherever he goes. And he was going to Michigan State. He goes, it's a perfect fit because the dude is tough. The dude is athletic. The dude doesn't say nothing. The dude busts his you-know-what. And he gets in the lane. He can score. And he can jump over you and score. And he can rebound. He's willing to do it. I think it's going to be a great matchup. Like, I think if you said to me, like, if you said to me, take the shirts off, put Duke shirts on, and played at Michigan State with Texas Tech's team, people would be so fired up for this matchup because of the motion, the cutting, the movement, and in Izzo's story. But, man, I tell you what, Seth, I love the way Texas Tech, and you said this earlier, they've developed their offense, the middle of the floor, spread out, screen off the ball, stay away from each other, space it out.
No doubt.
Timing of cuts is huge in motion. I got the ball on top. Now I cut. Ball's not over here, and I'm cutting over to my right. The ball's to the left. No. Chris Beard and his staff have been great offensively, and I thought it really crushed Gonzaga. Can it do it to Michigan State? I don't know, because those two big guys are connected.
Well, that's the thing. I think Michigan State wins. My gut feeling right now is Michigan State wins this game because of Xavier Tillman.
Yeah.
And Kenny Goins. And
Can I ask
Ward.
You this about Tillman? Wasn't he supposed to be a 15-minute-a-game guy?
Yeah. I mean, well, here's the deal. Kenny Goins averaged 2 points a game last year and 2 rebounds.
Right.
Most improved player in the country. Xavier Tillman, I mean, I got full disclosure. I watched him practice 2 years ago. And Tom was saying, I've got this kid Tillman, he's going to be really good. And I'm watching practice. And I'm going, like, seriously? And the guy's lost 20-something pounds.
Yeah.
He's got himself in great shape. He made 2 defensive plays in that game against Duke, playing up the line and denying entry passes with his hand across. Perfect. Like, it was a clinical defensive play. I think in the end, Michigan State was going to win this game because of the three-headed monster up front. It's just a little bit more productive than the front court of Texas Tech. So that's my gut feeling. How about you?
I think Michigan State's going to win the game. But to go back, it's going to be a rock fight.
Rock fight. See,
the biggest player.
Are you excited? You can say rock fight now.
Yeah, right with you.
I mean, rock fight. Nothing bad about
it. Biggest
rock
play
fight.
Of the game, and I may have this wrong. I think it was a 9-point game. Michigan State, and this is something to watch.
Offensive rebound.
I thought they ran the floor and got a 3 from McQuaid on the right side.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And nobody got back. And that kills you. Now, I do think this. I do think Texas Tech much better getting back and guarding than Duke. Not even close.
Duke looked really young. When they got up 9,
yes.
Duke looked really young.
Right. And that's my point, is that all of a sudden you get up 9 and here goes McQuaid, which in the scouting report against Michigan State, you better block out and you better get back on defense. And you know where they're running. Winston's got the ball. McQuaid's on the right. Henry's on the left. And boom, Main Street. They didn't do it. I do think this. I do think Texas Tech will, what was it, 17-4 transition points or whatever it was, Duke against Michigan?
Zero.
Was it zero?
Zero.
No points. I do think that Texas Tech will do a better job of taking away transition because I don't think they turn it over. You mentioned Moretti. I think Moretti's really good.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Moretti's good.
But I think Michigan State wins.
All right, so we got 2 Michigan States. The Fighting Bruce Pearls against Tony Bennett, the man who handles failure and defeat in the same way he handles victory, with grace and poise. 2 things that, quite honestly, you and I would have no shot of accomplishing. And one
really
of the cool...
makes me feel bad about myself. He's like the perfect guy. I told my wife, divorce me, marry him.
Yeah, really. One of the cool moments to me after that game was his embrace with his dad.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, I mean, and, you know, it sounds silly, but, you know, coming from coaching families, you know, your relationship with your kids and everything is... It's hard. It's hard being a coach's kid. It's hard then probably being coached by your dad. It's hard to see, you know, as a parent, see your kids go through a difficult time, like a 116. I thought that was as cool a moment as there was in the Final Four. And then on the other hand, you've got Bruce Pearl. Okiki goes down, bop, 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 and yet they still find a way to win. Who owns the tempo in that game?
Well, I think watching what Virginia survived in the barrage against Purdue. You can say whether Purdue's a good team, bad team, I don't know, but for that night, they were playing great. I think Virginia's going to win the game. I just got to believe that Okike not being in there is going to catch up to him against a team that, I mean, who's beaten Virginia?
Yeah.
Duke twice?
Florida State.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
They only
have 4 losses in the ACC over the last 2 years.
That's a nugget. I did say this after I watched Auburn up close this summer or this winter. It is such a make or miss deal with them. So to say that I think that Virginia is going to beat, I guess, but it's such
a make or miss deal. But it hasn't been missing, you know, since they lost to Kentucky.
Right.
It's been make or make. Now they won the other day. They only made 7 threes and they still won. How does Virginia deal with those high flat ball screens? Will they, like, my gut feeling is how they always deal with them. They probably blitz them and then hard hedge and come back. Not blitz them, but hard hedge and come back and recover back. Like, Kentucky switched him some and they just went at Reed Travis and he started rejecting them when they were trying to push him to the screen. To me, guarding Harper and containing him, and then Virginia is a team defensively that runs inside out in transition. They can't do that in this game. They've got to run with bodies. You know, I mean, because Brown had a play in the second half. He had a layup. And then he realized, oh, I don't want to do that. And he just backed out and got himself ready, got behind the ball, boop, knocked it down. Now, I do not think that they will be able to exploit Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome the way they exploited Tyler Hero in those kind of semi-ISOs. And I think that's one of the reasons. But I've picked against Auburn the whole tournament. So, Bruce, you're welcome.
Pick against him again. I think Tony Bennett learned something in the Carson Edwards deal. I don't know if you saw this, but late in the game, he decided he's leaving. Jerome left his man and went and doubled.
Yeah.
He just said, the hell with this. I'm going to go double. Somebody else is going to make. Now, that's where maybe Okeke not being in there can hurt, where he can lift up and shoot a shot. Maybe Purifoy has to make a shot. Maybe Purifoy has to make a play. I don't know. But I got to believe that Tony Bennett, who I'm not – you've watched Virginia far more than I. I'm not sure I've seen Tony Bennett do that.
No, I've never
leave
seen
and double.
That was totally out of character. Because right. Look, he tried Kia on him early.
Tried everybody.
He tried Hunter on him. He did some switching. He had Jerome on him a little bit. No, that was out of character. And that's a guy that's saying, wait a second, that guy, we can't let that guy beat us.
And I think you'll see that with
– Harper.
Harper or Brown?
Brown's probably catching to shoot it
or
more.
Whoever's going.
Yeah, whoever's got to go. And look, basically, they scored 52 points between them. Now, the one thing that without Okeke, and it goes back to Duke a little bit, is you've got two guys that have scored half of their points.
Right.
Do you
Which
win,
they just played.
Can you win a game with two guys without Okeke scoring half your points against a Virginia team that basically they're going to close down one of those guys? So who's the other guy that steps up for Auburn?
I don't know.
Is there another guy that can step up for Auburn?
In the middle of the game yesterday against Kentucky, they start throwing the ball to Wiley.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because you want to throw the ball inside because it calms everything down around you. But you also want the guy inside to be able to do two things. Number one, make a basket. Number two, make a free throw. Or yes, number three, then pass it out.
Pass it out if he gets right. Because he's going to get double big to big.
Right. So – I don't have the answer to that. That's where I said earlier that I think, but he also had a god awful stretch in the middle of it, which goes to trust. And now, Bruce, as you said earlier, I do think this. I think that whatever needs to happen for Auburn, I've become a believer, is going to happen. Meaning, if Purifoy needs to hit shots, somebody's going to make shots.
You're leaning towards the Tigers.
I am, but I'm not ultimately. Because I thought, I really thought this.
Wait a second.
I really thought this.
What did you just say?
I thought if you're going to beat Virginia, Purdue is going to beat Virginia. And I know some lucky things happen. I get all that. But let's be honest.
They had the game won.
They had the game
won. It was a perfect play. It was a perfect storm.
You miss a free throw or the game is won. Ball gets tapped. If you're going to tell me Clark is going to be running backwards with the clock running down from 5.9 seconds into the backcourt, I'll take that 100 out of 100 times to beat. But here's the point. They didn't beat Virginia. Virginia is hot. Like,
so do you think, are you going potentially a worst to first scenario?
I am.
Wow.
I like Virginia. I just think they're impossible to beat.
There's not anything. The only thing they can get at times, like Kyle Guy, I'll tell you the difference. Kyle Guy in that game, and he struggled. He was like 2 for 30-something. He elevated, man.
Seth, he got against Ryan Klein, and I love Ryan Klein. But
he knows Ryan
Klein really well, and he knew that he continually got separation off of Ryan, and Ryan knew it. And that's all I watched. I didn't even watch the ball. I was just watching those two guys the entire game. And I went back and watched it. And my wife's like, why are you yelling? I go, I couldn't talk. And then all of a sudden, Guy's going to hit a three. She's like, you saw Guy? I go, yeah, they can't guard him.
But he actually elevated up on it. I went back. Like, he almost – he was affected more by the 116 and the pressure of the NCAA. And then, you know what? You make a great point because he was familiar with Klein. So that maybe made him more comfortable in that moment in time. That's a great point.
And then you know what else?
Did Klein really fall down though? You know all that stuff he was talking about when they played in AU ball. Did he really cross Klein up and fall down? I mean,
who knows? You played 9,000 AU.
I think he was working on Klein's head. I think that was pretty good.
All right, one of the cool moments though, when Carson Edwards was hitting all those.
I know
threes,
what you're going to say.
He took the ball out of bounds and gave him a thumbs up. Did you see that?
No.
Did you see Guy do that? He bangs in like his fourth three or whatever. Klein guy takes the ball out of bounds, looks at Edwards, and kind of gives him a thumbs up. That was cool.
I thought the other thing was when Diquite made that shot and he was crossing Carson Edwards going to the bench for the overtime, and Carson Edwards slapped Diquite on the chest and gave a smile like respect, dude. That was big time. Those, like, Matt Painter did an amazing job, and he's
oh
such a good dude. And you know, he always talked about selectively aggressive for Carson Edwards. I think that got thrown out the window that game. Just, dude, get as many shots up as you can. You're making every one of them.
But was that the best shooting performance for two games?
Oh.
Klein in the second half of the Tennessee game, and then Edwards for basically – was that the best shooting you've ever seen?
Unbelievable.
I don't think I've ever seen better.
The shot making.
Yeah.
And I think it also dispels, you know, in terms of – and everyone's – we had a little disagreement on game day the other day. It's like, you know, I said, like, Virginia system can win a national championship. And they said, well, you know, they made shots the other game. I said, or get you to the Final Four. I said, that sounds great. But in the end, they didn't change who they – it wasn't like they were running it up the floor, you know, shooting the first shot. They were moving people, screening, rescreening, getting the ball reversed. They just happened to make a ton of shots. But to me, it's the system. It's the pack line. It's the motion. It's owning the tempo of the game. It's all those things to me that if you're able to do that and do it at a high level, you know, if you can only lose four ACC games in 2 years – doing that, then you know what? That system's good enough to win a national championship and get you to Final Four.
Seth, if Virginia had lost, we would be talking about what an incredible disappointment Kentucky is, Elite Eight.
Duke
is, ACC tournament champs, Elite Eight. And Virginia, ACC regular season champs, and Elite Eight. And all of a sudden, that's a disappointment. What the hell are these other guys doing that are making $5 million a year at all these other schools?
And has 13 guys on the squad. So who are you picking?
Oh, I'm picking Virginia.
I've got Virginia well. So, Bruce, you're in good shape. Thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Vivid Seats. I love Vivid Seats, man. I don't want a bad seat. I want a good seat. You know what I do? I go to Vivid Seats. So be sure to check out the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst as we draw closer to the NBA postseason. And remember to subscribe to Courtside wherever you get your shows and rate and review us in Apple Podcasts. And there's only one review you can give us. And that is, this is the world's greatest podcast, so you give us a five.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.